Hey everyone, you're tuning into this week's message, where we listen to wisdom and insight on the Christian faith. As a listener, you will gain context of scripture, learn Jesus' teaching, and gain practical ways to apply them to your life, your family, your friends, and anyone around you. Whether you're just curious about the Christian faith and seeking knowledge, or you're growing in your faith, we invite you to listen to the foundational principles to a healthy, thriving walk with the Lord. We can't wait to dive in with you.
Well, we're gonna talk about some community tonight. How y'all feel about that? Yeah, we're gonna talk about it. Feeling good. We just got back from vacation. We was on a boat. Got a little cruise in, a little family vacation, a little spring break. Got a chance to work on my tan a little bit. I think I did a good job. You know, I should be blending up here right now. Man, but it's good. It's always a privilege to get before the Lord's people. I don't take it lightly. God has just such a sense of humor when it comes to me getting the opportunity to speak to his people, because, you know, I always felt like I'm the worst speaker in the world, Lord, you know, because I'm country and I got a little hood in me. But nevertheless, you know, God knows how to use. He can use me, he can use you. So we're going to jump right into this message. We're going to talk about community, all right? So I hope you got your Bibles. I'm going to read a little bit tonight. We're going to read together. So what is a community? Let's just give a definition real quick. It's a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. A community typically have just about everything you need. You know, you got like a community bakery, you got a community store, you got a community college, you got a community center. Some of y'all went to community college, ain't nothing wrong. They teach you how to spell cat the same way as a big university. You got a community park like Lake Williston. And so Marmel would be somewhat of a community, you know, it has all those things. Now, I found that there are five different types of communities that we find ourselves in. One of them is interest. It's a community of people who share the same interests or passion, like bird watching or stamp collecting or chasing out the Pokemon, if that's still a thing, I don't know. Action. Communities of people who try to go about change, like helping the homeless. Or I think we got some people in there trying to do this. Animal welfare, you know, taking care of the animals. Place, communities of people brought together by geographic boundaries, like, you know, I'm from the East Coast and the West Coast, they'll get together. Or practice, communities of people in the same profession or undertake the same activities, like biking or, for me, bodybuilding or sewing or knitting, whatever the case, community. And the other one is circumstance. It's a community of people brought together by external events or situations, like a catastrophic event like a flood or a hurricane. When Hurricane Katrina came, those people came together because of what happened. But these communities are sometimes divided into social class. I know y'all heard these before. You got the black community, Black Lives Matter, you know. You got the white community, you got the Spanish community, you got the rich community. I have not yet joined that one yet. I'm trying to get there. You got the poor community, I just got out of that one. You got the homeless community, and you got the church community. And the list goes on and on of the different types of communities. But there are certain communities that you can't help to be a part of, because why? You kind of was born into it, or you kind of moved into it. You can't help but it, you know. Now, I grew up in the hood in the east end of Little Rock, and this little small church, I think he got a picture. Yep, that's the church I grew up in from about the age of 5 to about 19. And across the street, there's a cemetery, you know. I took that picture today. I was like, Lord, let me get out of here. Anyway, like literally. But in that particular church, there's about 75 to 100 people in that church, most of them kids. And I loved it because I met my best friend there. But, you know, on the night service we had, we never know if your car was going to get broken into. And as kids, we thought it was the the people near the grave breaking into your car because we was kids, because across the street from the graveyard. But like I said, you never know. But that particular church, even though I liked it, I learned a lot. I got saved there. But there was a lot of sin going on in that church. But nevertheless, that's the church that my mom chose. So it wasn't my choice. Now, after college, they wanted me to come back and do some things, but I chose something different. And that's what I'm going to talk about. You know, you have a choice of what communities or what groups that you want to be a part of. Now, we're going to talk about choice. We're going to talk about my man Abram and Lot, especially my man Lot. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Genesis 13, 1 to, we're going to read Genesis 13, 1 through 13. If you got it, say, I got it. All right, we're going to read out the Bible. Yes. It says, and Abraham went up out of Egypt, him and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot was with him into the south. I did not. One of those lapel thingamajigs. And Abraham was very rich with cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent has been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which was with Abram, and had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwell then in the land. And Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me, and thou shalt take, verse 9. If not the whole land before thee, separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou would take the left hand, then I will go to the right, and thou depart from the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and he beheld all the plains of Jordan. That is where the water was everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, we get back to that a little later. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as they come unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves from one another. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and they pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were very wicked and sinful before the Lord exceedingly. Now, what's interesting about this is there in certain communities, there's going to be some, even good communities, there's going to be some strife or some sort. There's going to be some problems. Now, you have to notice there was an issue going on, but no one really, really kind of solved the issue between them. Now, Abraham and Lot had strife between them. Abraham is the uncle, Lot is the nephew, so this family kind of made up this community. But, you know, I believe there was some disrespect going on in the community, and this is why I say that. Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen. For we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou would take the left hand, then I will go right. If thou depart from the right, then I will go left. Now, let me give you the Mars Pope version of this. Hear me, man. Let me talk to you. Bro, nephew, you getting on my nerve. Look, I don't know what you gonna do, but you gotta go. Either you go this way or I go that way, but you gotta get away from me. That's the Mars Pope version. Now, even in families, we're gonna have some times, but we got to just separate. It's not that I don't love you, but as of right now, we ain't getting along. And if we stay together, it's gonna be some trouble. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I really believe that Abram was saying to Lot, like, dude, we gotta go. Now, let me say this. The reason why I'm saying Abram, which in turn is Abraham, but his name doesn't change until Genesis 17, verse 5, is when God changed his name to Abraham, which is the father of many nations. But that's in chapter 17. We're not getting it. That's a whole nother sermon in itself. So his name is Abram right now. Okay. Now, like I said, there are going to be some times where you just got to separate yourself. Verse 10, it says, and Lot lifted up his eyes, and he beheld all the plains of Jordan. That was well watered before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, like I said, this is before the Lord came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. If you know the story, they're a very wicked city. A lot of unnatural things probably was going on in that city. A lot of wickedness that was going on in the city. Some of the stuff that's probably going on is going on today. So let's just say it like it is. But that's a whole nother sermon in itself too. Let me preach again. Okay. So before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, and as thou come to Zoar. Now, when Lot lifted up his eyes, he beheld all the beauty of the plains of Jordan. Now, you have to understand, Abram saw the same thing Lot saw. But isn't it funny that two people can look at the same thing but see something different? That's why you have to be led by the Spirit before you join something or before you leave something. You know, because see, God will let you make your own choice. God will let you choose your own demise. That's why you have to, it's important to be led by the Spirit. Now, Lot is said to have looked at the most fertile region place that's a remnants of the garden of the Lord. Like the fertile land of Egypt, as we know as Zoar. Now, this is Moses. Now, Moses wrote the book of Genesis. If you did not know that, just a little context, Moses wrote the book of Genesis. So this is Moses recalling to the Israelites a beautiful, fertile land that they was familiar with after recently coming out of Egypt. Now, of course, beauty always catches the human eye. Caught my eye right there. Still catching my eye, yeah. I'm gonna stay mad a long time. Anyway, in this case, the lush land of Sodom caught Lot's eye. You know, Lot sees something attractive to him and he follows after it. Now, of course, all things beautiful is not always sinful in itself. But that's why you have to be careful. You have to be careful and remind yourself that you always got to consult the Lord before you make the decision. Like I said, the Lord will let you make your own choices. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:21, many plans are in the man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. Before you make a decision, go speak to the Lord. It's vital. This is your life. This is your family's life. Before you connect yourself to something, Lord, I need to know what you have planned for me. Because, you know, our hearts, we want some stuff that we don't need. Let's go to verse 12. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plains. And he pitched his tent toward Sodom. It's important. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, check this out. Lot took his family to a wicked community near a wicked city. All right? Lot and his family end up getting captured, and Abram had to rescue him. Now, I'll give you a little more context. It's a long story. There was a battle going on between, I think, it was 5-4. These kings got together. And in the midst of that battle, Lot and his whole family got captured. Then Abram got word of it, and he got some boys together. That's why you got to have some boys. He got some boys together. He's like, we're going to go over there. We're going to kick some. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. And he rescued Lot and all of his possessions. That's why you got to make some covenant friends. I'm telling you, you got to make some covenant friends. And even though for me, I can tell you, like, I got some family members I don't deal with. But if you mess with them, we got a problem. I can mess with them, but you can't mess with them. You know what I'm talking about? That's kind of what was going on right now. So moving on. So Abraham rescued them. Then Lot, after he got rescued, Lot had a chance to move, but he chose not to move. He stayed there for whatever the reason. Now, you got your Bibles turned to Genesis 19, 1 through 3. You can put that up there. Genesis 19, And there came two angels to Sodom at the evening. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Lot seeing them, then he rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. And he said, "Behold, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way." And they said, "No, but we will abide in the street all night." They finna tear up some stuff, and they did. And he pressed upon them greatly, and then they turned into him, and they entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. When the two angels came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot was waiting in the front gate, and he invited them inside his house. Now his house is inside of Sodom. See, the next thing you know, Lot was looking at Sodom. He moved near Sodom. Now he's living in Sodom. When you don't follow the Lord, you'll find yourself in communities that look good, but ultimately will hurt you and your family. That is why there's something always pulling you and fighting for your attention. But see, the communities that I'm most concerned about is these online communities that these Christians are finding themselves on. Ooh, got quiet inside. These are these communities that you find yourself texting. You find yourself communicating. These communities where you are with a bunch of dudes, a bunch of girls, and you're talking about stuff that's unholy, irrelevant. And next thing you know, it's changing your perception and your mindset. And next thing you know, you find yourself so far from God that you don't know which way is up. Those are and those communities are right here in your hand. You don't never got to leave them. That's right there on your phone. Be careful. Make the right choice. Say, make the right choice. The Lord is good. Now, all communities don't have to be big. Some, as a matter of fact, most communities are small. Jesus started with a small community of men that of course, grew. I remember when Turner invited me, I think, downtown with a group of guys. We got some pizza. You remember that? And I think that's when that brotherhood YA kind of started, you know, and it's been growing ever since. That's just my opinion. It may not be here, but that's my thing. So I'm a part of it, you know what I'm saying? So Jesus started out with 12 men as it grew. Now, the one thing that stood out with his 12 men was always Judas. I know Pastor Mark just talked about Judas this morning, but if you really study the guy, it's kind of fascinating. But it's a whole nother subject too. But the thing about Judas, he's chosen by the Lord. He's like, "Lord, I want you to come over here with me." And Judas seen the miracles. He ate with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. In that community, Judas actually had kind of say he had a job, but he was active in the community. You know, he had the money. And in John 13:29, it says, "For some of them thought because Judas had the bag that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor." See, Judas had a job. Judas was in a community. But I realized you can be in a community, but not of a community. The Bible says be in this world, but not of it. We're going to keep moving on. Because when you are of a community, you become one with that community. That's why God wants us to be one, because we are one body in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12:12-14, it says, "For as the body is one, has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ. For by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, having been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many." Why? See, we need one another. I need everybody in here. And you need me too. You just don't even know it. You know? But you need me. I need you too. And sometimes we don't even know our worth and our values. That's why you don't think nobody needs you. But we do need you. Now, we need you. Now, God loves when his people get together in oneness. A community is a place where you deal with one another or to be on one accord. Did you know there's 159 verses in the Bible that talks about one another? I'm going to give you a few of them. Submit to one another in reverence for Christ, Ephesians 5:21. encourage one another and build each other up. We do that, you know. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. You know, we got that going on. You think? Yeah, I think so. Do not slander one another. Don't do that. We don't like that. James 4:11. Love one another deeply from the heart. That's why I want to be loved from the heart. Offer hospitality to one another. Open up your homes. Clothe yourself in humility towards one another. Greet one another. 2 Corinthians 13:12. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Nah, I'm gonna tell you, I don't know if we practicing that one now. You know, Dominique, don't be kissing nobody now. Don't be kissing nobody now. Don't be kissing nobody now. Just messing with you. And if we can be there for one another, there's nothing, we can meet all the needs in this community. If we can be there for one another, we can meet everyone's needs. But in order to do that, you can't be selfish. I'm throwing that in. Now, we're going to talk about a community of people who decided we're going to be one. Go to Genesis 11:1-6. We're going to get some Bible in today. Go on, get that Bible in. We're going to talk about the Tower of Babel. Well, Babel. It's a Bible. Babel. Bible. Tower of Babel. It ain't funny. So let me give you some context. So after the flood, Noah's descendants, they decide they're going to be one. Because, see, what happened? The flood happened, all right? It's Noah's descendants. And they're like, look, we ain't going to allow this flood to happen again, so we need to get together. We're going to do something. So in Genesis 11:1-6, it says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass that they journeyed from the east, that they found the plains of the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly, and the brick for stone, and the head slime for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top reaches unto the heavens. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, and when the children of men, or what the children of men built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language. And this is the beginning of what they can do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Meaning that, look, they can do anything they put their minds to. I believe, listen, there's nothing we can't build here in this group right here if we put our mind together. Can you imagine building something that's so grand that the Lord himself has to come down? What are those people doing at New Life Church and their young adults ministry? I got to come down. Let me come down and see what they're doing. And I believe that we can build something here with our leaders' help, with our leaders' anointing, with our leaders. I'm going to get into the leaders later on. But I really feel that we can build something so special that the Lord himself got. I got to come down and see what they're doing. And what we build will give God all the glory and all the honor. It's not for us. It's for those who are lost out there. I believe we can do that. But we can. In order to do that, we need one another. See one another. Now, there are 20 verses in Acts alone that talks about being on one accord. And this is one of my favorite. I just love this passage of scripture. It's Acts 2:1-4. And just to set it up, this is, you got these believers, they're up in the upper room and they're waiting for something to happen. So let me get started. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were on one accord in one place, one accord in one place, one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind and filled the house where they were sitting. And appeared unto them clothed in tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they was filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, you have to understand, there would never be another day like the day of Pentecost. It was like this introduction, this inauguration of the Holy Spirit. And if you can imagine with me just for one moment, these group of believers, these disciples and these believers are in this upper room. They're sitting there waiting, and they don't know what they're waiting for. Then all of a sudden there's a sound that comes in and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want for you and your groups. When you're in your small groups, I want you to be on one accord and all of a sudden a sound come in that the Holy Spirit comes and move you. When we're in these services, I want the Holy Spirit to just come in and change every last one of us. I want to see the Holy Spirit move in ways that changes you, that it's like the fire shut up in my bones, that we, all of us, we're changed forever. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit. It's a sound that happens when we're what? On one accord. All of us on one accord. When you're meeting one-on-one, the Holy Spirit will give you the right thing to say. When you just chilling with your boy, the Holy Spirit just comes in at that moment. And next thing you know, I don't care. You start speaking in tongues. You don't even care what it looks like. When the Holy Spirit comes, you don't care what you sound like. You don't care what you look like. Lord, here I am. Do whatever you want. If I got to look like a fool, I'll look like a fool. Because you got to understand, they in the upper room, but the other people outside thought they was drunk. And I don't know what I know you've seen a couple of drunk people in your life. They look like a fool. I don't mind looking like a fool when it comes to the Lord. If that were, it doesn't matter because it's the Holy Spirit. Woo. That would change every time we meet if we don't want to court. I believe that when we get together, your mind, even in your groups, you're there, but you're not there. Got to be on one accord. What's the purpose of coming? For entertainment purposes? No, we got things to do. There's things to be learned. There's relationships need to be built. No sense for you just to be coming, just to be coming. There's people in trouble. There's people who need you. You got to get your life right. So one accord. Why is that important? Now, when we have communities and we don't want to court, I think God can move in mighty ways. Now, question. What happens when you find the right community or the right life group, or when you found my people? Like, I found my people, dog. I got my folks now. I'm a channel. I'm straight. I'm with the Turners. Ooh, I got my folks. You know, life is going to be easy. Nuh-uh. It's not always like that. Let's look at the early church of believers who changed the world so drastically that today we are taking part of what they started 2,000 years ago. It's hard. They got hurt. But it was worth it because they stayed the course over a long haul. We have to bust this myth that when I get in the church and I find the right people, all things are going to be easy. Let me tell you why. Because when you find the right people, you may encounter some folks that, they're not like you. They weird. My wife say I'm weird all the time. I don't know. My son probably don't. He probably think I'm weird too. But you're gonna find some people who are not like you. But that doesn't mean they're not your people. You don't want to be around folks that look just dislike you or look like you. Why? Because you may have to reset, or better yet, you may have to repent. You got to change that mindset. The Bible says you got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That happens when you find the right people. You get around the right folks, you'd be like, oh, man, my thinking stinks. It can be hard when you find yourself challenged in holiness and righteousness. 1 Peter 5:16, simple. It says, be ye holy, for I am holy. This is God telling you what to be. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That means to be separate, but to be set apart. When you get around some people who, that's what I want to be, is like, God, you're going to get uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? If you get around me, I want you to be uncomfortable. You get around Chandler, I want you to be around uncomfortable. When you get around Turner, I want you to be uncomfortable, because I know that these men, we are striving after holiness. We got together. We said we're going to live a life of purity and a life above reproach, and we're going to do it through holiness. So you get around me, I want you to be uncomfortable. To be holy. It's a word that I think Christians just goes over their head. But it's what I want to be. Holy. In Matthew 5:6, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Look, when you get around the right people, you're going to find out there's some people who want to do the right thing. It's going to be weird. Like, they don't cuss. They're not talking about people. They're not slandering people. You're around these people who's like, I want to do what the Lord told me to do. That's what I'm striving for. I'm hungry for. I got to have this right way of doing things, because if I start to dabble in the wrong things, I know that the enemy is going to grab me and can take me around the wrong path. So righteousness, the right way, is what I hunger for. I look for. I got to have. And I get it by reading my word. It tells you what you should do, what you shouldn't do. And then you have the Holy Spirit to help you with that. Righteousness. We think you're not sure how you are until you get around other people. I remember when I got to college, I got a band scholarship at the University of Arkansas Pine Bluff. And, you know, I thought I was a man in high school. Let me tell you something. You couldn't tell me nothing. That band director came and offered me that scholarship. I'm like, he want me. You know what I'm saying? Well, of course you do. You want me. You know what I'm saying? When I got there, I realized I can't play as well as I thought I could. And then I got around a bunch of guys playing the drums. I was like, I didn't know guys can play drums like that. You know, it was so shocking to me. So, you know, you when you get around the right people, your people, you're going to find out you ain't as good as you thought you was. You know, I remember there's a story about Kobe Bryant. This guy said, I'm going to go get to the gym. I'm going to get there early. You know, I'm going to get there by 5:00. When he got there, Kobe had already had a full sweat, had ice packs on the knees. This dude has already worked out. And dude was like, there's somebody out there doing it even better than me. I got to step up my game. When you find the right people, you know, it's going to be hard. You're going to find out that there are men who actually love their wives and don't cheat. You get around the right people. Man, this man actually loves his wife. You're going to find out there are women who actually pray over their husband instead of tearing her down with their words. Come on, man. Ooh, come on. Oh, y'all going to leave me out there like that. It's all right. I've been there before. There are young men and women who decide to honor their bodies and save themselves until they get married. You're going to find that out. Young people who are not married, save yourself. Honor the Lord with your body. You will be aware that there are men and women who actually pray and study and worship the Lord, and they're not ashamed of it. The Bible says in Romans 1:16-17, I know y'all know it, for my group should know it. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You're going to come across some people who live by faith. They don't know how it's going to happen, but they know it's going to happen because they're putting their faith out there. And I'm going to tell you, for Christians, exercise your faith, because God is what? Faithful. Faithful. And when you find the right community or the right life group, it will help you stay on mission. And the mission is the way of holiness and righteousness. The mission is the Great Commission. Go out and make disciples. That's the mission. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm always with you, even to the ends of the earth. I truly believe that some of you guys are marked. You are anointed to go into the hard places and go into some of these communities throughout the world to teach and preach and give up your resources. I remember when I went to Africa and I got a chance to, you know, to be somewhere different. And I got a chance to preach and go into these communities. And I ran up against some young Muslims. And you know, they was wondering, you know, they were looking at me all funny, like, we the same color, but you different. I said, you different too. And looking at me funny. You know, and so we got into a dialogue, which I kind of provoked, which that's kind of my thing. And we got, because I know what they believe, but they don't know what I believe, you know. And so we got into this dialogue, and it was very interesting that I got a chance to share the gospel, but way across in the motherland, and which was so good. And after I got to sharing the gospel, my man Siri came up behind me and backed me up. And now those young men are serving in the local church on the down low, but they serving in the local church. Some of y'all, God has called you to go into the hard places, called you to go out there and teach and preach and share the gospel. You are anointed for it. Now, in community, you have what you call community leaders. Barnabas is one of those leaders in the Bible that I just kind of like. Barnabas was a Jew who joined the church soon after Christ's crucifixion. He sold his property and gave all the proceeds to the community. This is in Acts chapter 4, if you want 36, if you want to read it. He was one of the early leaders of the Christian church. And Barnabas had three qualities of a leader that I believe all leaders have. You can go and get on that piano and start tingling away. Yeah, go on. I'm in the key of W. If I can, with Jaden Turner, stand up, please. Yes, sir, please. You clap. Barnabas had three qualities I believe that our leaders have. First of all, he was a good man. These are good people. Good people that's leading us. Good people. I don't know how well you know them, but they're good people. It says that Barnabas sold everything that he had. Now, they ain't sold all they had. But one thing they have done, they opened up their home, all of their resources, not to just YA, but to any ministry. Always somebody at the house. They always have good food. It says he was full of the Holy Spirit. They are full of the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, y'all don't understand. You want people who hear from the Lord. They have, there's a power that they possess. They have him. They can consult him. Why? Because he knows all things. The Bible says the Holy Spirit knows all things, even the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit is revealing those things to them. That's why we're here. And it says he's full of faith. It takes faith to deal with y'all. It takes faith and time to start something like this because you don't know how it's going to work. You don't know how people's going to react to it. You don't know. They don't know. I'm pretty sure there's been many conversations like, we're going to go ahead and do what God called us to do because we have faith for it. It takes faith and to give up their time and they still got to work and they still got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 babies, you know what I'm saying? You know, they got all, but they still have faith and they feel, look, I can follow somebody who's good, filled with the Holy Spirit, and full of faith. And see, they have built this community that's built on the word. They built this community that's built on truth. They have built this community where you can be vulnerable in. They built this community where husband and wives can grow. They built this community where children can grow up in it. They built this community where men can get together and have serious conversation. They built a community where women can get together and, girl, I just need to talk. They built a community where you can come and like, I need some help. They built a community where you can come and repent. Got good leaders. Y'all can sit on down. As I close, I remember Turner and Jay came to me and Tasha wanted us to be a part of the young adult ministries. And I was like, shoo, yeah, let's do it. I'm down for it. Tasha, like, nope. And there was some strife in the house. But nevertheless, she submitted to her husband. God is good. And we opened up our house and we started with these couples. And we were not in the best place when we started that group. I'm gonna tell you that right now. The Lord been working. Lord been working. And if you ever been in a life group with me, would you please stand? You know, I just want to, it's just a testament of what y'all have done. You know, it's y'all obedience to the Lord and to have faith in Tasha and I just to be a part and to trust us with sensitive information and to be able to be friends. And even though we don't get to hang out as much, you know that we out there working. You know, we covering our end of it. And that's what you want people like, look, man, you may not hear from, but I'm working. We getting it done. Y'all go ahead and sit down. But nevertheless, me and Tasha, we've been, last couple of years, a lot of people came through our house and a lot of groups have changed. A lot of groups have broken off and started their own groups and they're growing. The one thing I say about life groups, you got to keep coming. Can you imagine being out in this world by yourself? It's difficult out here. Can you imagine even coming to life group but not really participating? You're just there. My plea is to get involved. Build relationships with people. You know, because it's hard out there. You know, for every guy, I want to get to know who you are. And I know there's time. We got a lot of time. Our time and schedules are all crazy. But my goal is I want to be your brother in Christ above anything else. You know, I kind of consider myself a big uncle anyway because I'm the oldest thing. Well, no, Zach, you got me. So, I ain't the oldest now. And I'm closing with this. Community is so vital. I know people who have no one to call. So they open up their phones or their computer, and that's when they get in trouble. Or they find it somewhere else. Or they can find it in something that's good, but they're not growing. You can get involved in good activities, but you're not growing. And our goal that we want to see each and every last one of you grow in Christ. And we want to see you learn the Bible. I want you to learn the Bible. I want a whole bunch of Chandlers in here. You know? Yeah, yeah. You know, the way he memorized, I'm a storyteller. The way he memorized, I'm old. My days have changed. If you could please stand. I just thank for the opportunity to get up here and just say what the Lord has to say. And I'm going to tell you, there are some of you guys and girls in here, God is ready to use your gift, but you're not ready. He's placed so many gifts and talents inside of you. He's waiting for it. Don't be afraid. Look, I'm the worst speaker ever, you know. It is. And it's crazy. I got a job now. That's all I do is speak. It's so weird. God has a sense of humor. I just want to encourage you. God has a purpose for every last one of you. But you have to get around the right people. All right? This is your place. And I don't care if you are over 38. We need you here. All right? Father, I thank you for your love and your grace. I thank you, Father, for what you've done tonight. Holy Spirit, thank you for using me. I hope I said exactly what you wanted me to say. And if I didn't, forgive me, Lord. I repent of that. I thank you for our leaders. They're so good. Good people. I thank you for all our leaders. Lord, I ask you, once we get to keep us as one, on one accord, keep us that we take care of one another, that we are there for one another. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to move like only you can move.
Man, we are so glad that you tuned in with us. We hope that the Lord has dropped something valuable in your heart. We cannot wait to do this again. See you next week.